Washington Post correspondent Pamela Constable has reported on the conflict between India and Pakistan, along with many other stories from South Asia. She first moved to New Delhi in 1998 and now lives in the Afghan capital of Kabul. Her reflections on her time in South Asia, Fragments of Grace, My Search for Meaning in the Strife of South Asia, is in bookstores, and Pam Constable joins us in the studio. Thanks so much for coming in.
It's a pleasure.
You've reported on some pretty grim aspects of humanity in your work for the Washington Post. What did you want to accomplish in writing the book that you haven't been able to tell in your daily stories in the newspaper?
It's a book that is based to some extent on my published writing, but to a much greater extent on my private journals and diaries, which I kept as I was a correspondent in South Asia and before. As I say in the prologue, is there something greater than the sum of 2,000 newspaper articles that I've learned and gained and felt from working in these places with great turmoil and conflict and struggle? What does it add up to? That's what I was trying to answer.
We are talking about the time you spent in South Asia, but you've also reported from Latin America and the Caribbean. What is it that draws you overseas, that makes you want to be a foreign reporter as opposed to staying here domestically?
The reason that I've been drawn to it has been this idea that, you know, there are places in the world where people do not have a voice, where there's nobody asking them what happened to you and what do you think and what do you feel. And my happiest moments are when I'm in a village somewhere and there's not another journalist for hundreds of miles around, and I'm speaking to someone who's never been interviewed.
The role, the plight of women in Afghanistan has been reported extensively in recent years, before and after the removal of the Taliban. What has it been like for you as an American woman reporter to work and live in this country that traditionally places women in a subservient role? How it felt for you as a woman?
I didn't suffer in any, I wasn't certainly persecuted, I wasn't, you know, reviled, but I was very, very restricted in what I could do. And I had to be very careful how I looked, what I said, how I dressed, how I comported myself. One incident that comes to mind is an occasion I was interviewing a senior official and something was funny and I started laughing, and I was with another journalist and we both started laughing, and the man was incredibly offended. He was a Taliban cleric. And the idea of women laughing loudly was extremely offensive to him, and he terminated the interview on the spot.
You tried on a burqa when you were in Afghanistan. What was that like for you? What was the feeling for you?
Well, it was sort of an evolution. It started out as seeming incredibly stifling and frightening and hot and very weird. It was like, you know, as I described it in one article, it was like, you know, being in the middle of pea soup. You couldn't see anything, and it was extremely hot and very strange. But after a few minutes, I began to realize that it was really also a form of protection. I mean, nobody could see me. It was like Alice in Wonderland. You know, nobody knew who I was. Nobody could bother me. It really was a protective garment as well as an oppressive one. And, you know, women in Afghanistan today still, in many parts of the country, wear them, mostly because of tradition and cultural restrictions. But they also, it gives them a feeling of security. And I did get a flash of that, even though I was very angry. And it made me feel very, very frustrated. I also got this little glimmer of, well, actually, this is not so bad.
There's a little theme that tends to run through the stories from South Asia and places that you've reported, and, you know, you seem to be attracted to the canine population wherever you go. Dogs are in almost every story, and you've adopted how many?
To be fair, there are also many cats that I've adopted. I don't want to discriminate in any way. If I added it all up, gosh, it would be probably several dozen in different countries, some of which I've brought back here.
You did?
Yes. In fact, last week I brought back a three-legged cat who's now living on a farm in Vermont, and a wonderful dog who's now living with some friends in Washington.
So how many animal furry friends do you have?
In the world?
do you have them in different places and you go?
Yes, I stash them everywhere. I twist arms. I've become really brutal about this.
There is a dog story in Your
there
book,
is.
Not a shaggy dog story, but a dog story, when you were in Pakistan. Would you read that one for us?
Sure. This was about when I first moved to Afghanistan after the Taliban fell, which was a very, very difficult time. Lots and lots of very hard work. It was lonely. It was around the clock. It was frantic. But I was always looking out for someone to love. I was staying in this big hotel, and one day I discovered this passel of puppies that had been sort of abandoned behind the hotel. I drove to the hotel every morning to feed my family of stray dogs, secretly looking forward to their yelps of greeting, finding a few moments of quiet communion before the day began. The security guard, a grizzled militiaman, always shook his head in amusement, but sometimes I caught him throwing leftover rice their way. Then one morning when I arrived, I knew something was terribly wrong. The mother was lying still. The puppies were hysterical. There were strange men everywhere, municipal workers spreading poisoned meat in a crude but effective anti-rabies campaign. It was too late to save the mother. She died as she had lived, at the fringe of an indifferent society. No one had loved her but me. No one else had been allowed to play with her puppies. Now our bond of trust had been erased as if it never existed. Her body was being heaved into a garbage truck. I wanted to say goodbye, but somehow honor her short, struggling life, but I had to think of the puppies instead. I rounded them up and put them in my car. One was cold and trembling, and I realized she must have eaten some of the poison. I stayed up with her for 2 nights, wrapping her in wet towels and pouring water down her throat. She survived. I named her Pak because it rhymes with sack, which is the Farsi word for dog. She grew into a stout, amiable creature who spent her days digging up rose bushes in my backyard in Kabul and jumping on me with joyful, muddy paws. But even after a year, every time I drove up to that hotel for a meeting or a news conference, I couldn't bear to look at the empty spot behind the guard booth where, for a few moments each morning of my frantic, armored existence in that first post-Taliban winter, I had felt needed and loved and at peace.
Washington Post correspondent Pamela Constable. Her new book is Fragments of Grace, My Search for Meaning in the Strife of South Asia. Thank you so much for coming in.
You're very welcome.